You know, as we approach Pesach, there's some very unique aspects of Klal Yisroel that come to light. You know, we're an ancient people. We came out of Mitzrayim, it's 3,326 years ago, in 2 weeks from tonight. That's 3,326 years. It's a long time. And we have a very unique experience in those days. We were in a very difficult situation in Egypt, serving there as slaves to the establishment. And then miracles happened, the most unbelievable miracles that were witnessed by the millions of Jewish people there, and the millions, I assume, of Egyptian people there, and heard about far and wide in what was the ancient world at the time. And then, in an event that never happened before in history, and don't believe it ever happened after either, this entire slave nation, the few million people that they were able to pick themselves up and not sneak out of the boundaries and the borders and the almost like the security of Mitzrayim, but they were ushered out. They were begged to leave. They left in the middle of the day as day broke, so it shouldn't be in the middle of the night like slaves running away, you know, hiding from their masters. But they went out, you know, as proud people. They left very fast when the moment came, so fast that they didn't even have time to finish baking their bread, and that's why we have matzah. They were just able to take and bake it in the sun. But it was the most amazing event in all of history. And if that wasn't enough, they walked for 7 days, and then they had another occurrence which was very significant. They found themselves between, I guess, the devil in the deep blue sea, except it wasn't a blue sea. They call it the Red Sea. What happened? Paro was pursuing them with his army. He changed his mind. He realized what had happened. His life was saved because he was a bechor and they saved his life. So now all of a sudden he changed his mind. He's got to get these slaves back. I mean, they must have done tremendous work there in Mitzrayim, you know, the Jewish ingenuity. Probably built the pyramids and the like, and pursued them. And they were left in a very difficult situation because they had Paroi coming on one side. They had, on two sides of them, Chazal tell us they had wild animals. And right in front of them was this raging sea. So what are you going to do? You go to the sides, you're finished. Back, Paro's there with his goons ready to kill you. The sea, suicide. You go into this raging sea, what's going to happen? And of course, what they did, they were told that, you know, Dabra Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem, Dabra El Bnei Yisrael V'Yisol. Speak to them, tell them to go into the sea. The sea, trust Hashem, everything will be fine. And then, miracle of miracles took place. In front of the entire nation, they experienced it, they walked through it, the entire Egyptian nation seeing it, and then eventually the army drowning in the sea. And one of the most miraculous of all miracles was that they walked through this raging sea while their enemies were drowning all around them, and they were walking on dry land. We can't even imagine that, let alone anybody could ever create such a situation. Clearly the greatest manifestation of Hashem's involvement in our lives, of Hashem's control, of Hashem's control over all of nature, the most powerful of events. In fact, it seems from the Meforshim that it was only on the Yam Suf that they really appreciated all the miracles of Mitzrayim. It took until they came to the Yam Suf to begin to see, look what's happening. I'm walking through, it's dry, it's wet at the same time. Imagine that. See, drowning here. Oh, look at him. Well, I remember him. He's the guy who used to hit me over the head every time I didn't do all the bricks. He's drowning here. I'm walking through at the same time, the same place on dry land. Mind-boggling, something that only can show us Hashem is the total creator and controller of all the laws of nature. That's what they experienced. That's unique enough. But there's something that's even more unique about the Klal Yisrael. And that's the way we have preserved this reality. The events were recorded, written down, and passed down to future generations. Okay, that's very nice. You have a recorded document. We've discussed here in the past how this document was accurately transmitted, and never to be changed to this very day. It's the same document wherever you go. Jews all over the world, they all read from the same document without exception. No one has ever dared to tamper with it. Even all those that translated the Bible into all the languages of the world have not tampered with the essential ingredients of what took place and the miracles that took place. But we have much more than that. What we have is a system to keep the memory, the experience of these miracles alive. How do we keep it alive? How do we create out of an event that took place 3,326 years ago, 3,326 years ago, and yet to keep it alive, and an entire nation throughout history, throughout the world, continues to testify to these events. How do we do it? Anybody have any ideas? Very simple idea. Two hands are raising? What? We live by the Torah. Could you elaborate a little bit?
Torah is our rule book.
What?
Torah is our rule
book. Okay, you know what we think about rules. Come on.
Guide.
Okay. Very simple. What? No. You know what?
Laws.
What? No. We don't just have a volume which tells us about these events and which we have transmitted from generation to generation, and which we have made sure that nobody ever dares to make any changes in that document, and which we see today, documents from Jews that have been spread out all over the world, and some separated from us for the longest time, maybe even close to 2,000 years, no changes in that document. But we have a securer system than that. With a document that has never and can never be changed or tampered, with a document that is read publicly every week, we have something else. We have actions. We have a lifestyle which testifies to the truth of the document. What do I mean? How many people said Kriya Shema this morning? Don't answer. What? That they all say. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Anyway, what do you say at the end? We remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. Ezra Sabi Seiru Atohu Mi'olam. We mentioned there the Makas Bechiros and the Kriyas Yamsuf, Yitzias Mitzrayim. Constantly remember by day and by night. In fact, it's really a mitzvah timidis. Zochor es hayoyim hazeh sheyitzosem mi'mitzrayim. It's always on our mind. We put on tzitzis. The Arba Kanfis of the Tzitzis remind us of the Dalal L'Shoyne Shel Geula. We put on tefillin, which remind us the Nisim of Mitzrayim. The Mezuzah, the Nisim of Mitzrayim. We're constantly living those Nisim. We remember, we do everything we do, Zeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kiddush, Shabbos, Zeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim, Zeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's to remember we act in such a way our lives reflect on this great event that happened 3,326 years ago. But it goes much further than that. Once a year, happens to be 2 weeks from tonight, we sit down and we put on this whole show, almost reenacting the events that took place 3,326 years ago. We eat the same matzah. We eat the moro to remind us of that bitterness. We dip it in the salt water to remind us of the tears that they shed when they were working with such terrible, terrible slave labor. We take 4 cups of wine and reflect the Dalad L'Shoyne Shel Geula V'Hitzesi V'Hitzalti V'Goalti V'Lokachti to pay attention to the 4 stages of that redemption that took place. The Sikurno explains, V'Hitzesi refers to the fact, not that they went out, but they stopped working. Rosh Hashanah was when they allowed them to stop working. That's when the Geula began. They only went out on Pesach, but Rosh Hashanah they stopped working. V'Hitzalti, they actually left Mitzrayim. Vigo'alti, and I will redeem you. What was the redemption? So the Sepunu says on the Yamsuf. Because the ultimate redemption from slavery is when you see your masters no longer. They're dead. If I still have a master who's alive, who knows, he may catch up with me someday. But no, Vigo'alti, dead. Vilokachti, he took us to Har Sinai and gave us the Torah. And we take a kois shel brocha for each one of these stages in the Geula to remember it. We have a mitzvah, are you with me? We have a mitzvah, the Higadito Labincho, telling your children. What a brilliant concept. You want to make sure that you remain focused on these events for the rest of your life? Tell it to your children. You tell your children something. That's a reality. If I didn't know the reality before I told it to them, when I tell it to them, I feel that reality. Because I would never lie to my children. And I certainly am telling them this. And what am I telling them? That what I heard from my father, what he heard from his father, what he heard from his father, what he heard from his father. And this has been going on for 3,300 plus years. Not only that, it isn't just the story I tell. Here's the matzah. Here's the moral. Here's the, used to be the Korban Pesach, which was called after that greatest culmination of the miracles when Hashem Posach al-Botei b'nei Yisrael. But we remember the Korban Pesach. We take those cups of wine and thank Hashem for the individual stages of the redemption to focus on each aspect of it. And through this entire experience, we tell over the stories, we tell over what happened. And what happens is that we crystallize in our minds the reality of those events. And we are creating an eternal testimony. And what's very interesting is that even Jews that barely know that they're Jewish, in 2 weeks from tonight, they'll also sit down to a Seder. They might have a Maxwell House Haggadah, and a piece of Menishewitz matzah, you know, but Manischewitz maybe, yeah. But it's there. They remember. And I'll tell you something else. They remember they used to have the Seder in their grandparents' house. And usually a Seder is, well, I'll ask the question, how many people expect to be celebrating the Seder with 3 generations together? That means you, parents, grandparents. Anybody with 4 generations? We have not only, I don't have to rely on what my father told me. I heard it from his father too. I checked out his sources. I made sure he was telling me the truth. It's an unbroken chain, linked generation to generation with double links. Just my father, my grandfather, and my children. They have the grandfather, the father, and the children. And it's been going on this way. We have Haggadahs that have been printed before the printing press and been written. And the same story, wherever you go, it's all saying. I never forget bringing the, who was then the Ethiopian chief rabbi, to speak for a group of people locally here. And he was talking about how in Ethiopia they was there, all by themselves, separated for, I don't know, like more than 1,000 years, maybe more, maybe closer, I don't know exactly. And yet, telling the same stories about the makkas and the matzah they eat. Their matzahs looked a little different maybe, but it's all the same. This is the most amazing system to assure the transmission of testimony, eyewitness testimony, from that first generation that saw these miracles to future generations. It's with text, the text of the Torah, the text of the Haggadah, and it's with action that reflects the text. It's, we almost relive it, we reenact it, we act as we remember the Avdus, and we remember the Cherus. That same night we were slaves, and then we were free. And we enact all of this and just not just tell and not just talk and not just think, but actions that help us to commemorate. And actions are passed on from generation to generation, and there practically isn't a Jew on the face of the earth that hasn't had some connection with this glorious tradition and at some point in his life been connected to that endless chain of testimony from the generation of the Yetzias Mitzrayim to this very day. I'll never forget, I once was delivering a lecture, a similar topic, this topic, but in a different format. It was crystallizing and expressing and trying to explain the ability to have live testimony to an event that happened 3,300 years ago. Now, that's very strange. The only way you could really have live eyewitnesses to an event that 3,300 years ago is if you have people that lived for 3,300 years. In the event that we don't have such people, it's very difficult to find eyewitness testimony. Yet, we do have that, because we have generation after generation testifying with words, with documents, and with actions, reliving and reliving. It's not like we forget about it. We relive the Maimon Har Sinai on Shavuos, or we relive the years of after Yetzias Mitzrayim on the Midbar, on Sukkot, so we're constantly focused. I remember that there was a woman standing, I remember, with her hands behind her back against the wall right over there, and she was starting to ask questions. So it sounded like an intelligent woman, but it sounded like she didn't get it. You know, she was asking, I don't remember exactly what she was asking, but I saw she didn't really get it. So I wanted to try to help her understand. She says, let's imagine for a moment that you were a judge, this was in California, in the California court system, and everybody in the group started to laugh. So I said, what's so funny? She was a judge. Oh, I said, this is the opportunity I've been waiting for. I addressed her, I said, Your Honor, tell me, the evidence, the testimony, the evidence of testimony that we presented here today, how would that fare in terms of testimony that's accepted? And you know what the standard is of judgment in the legal system and in the world, beyond any
reasonable
doubt. How would this testimony fare in your courtroom to have proven the case beyond any reasonable doubt of events that took place 3,300, then it was probably 10 years ago, something like that. And she looks at me and she says, I must tell you that with far less evidence than you presented, then in my courtroom, it would have clearly been decided that the case was proven beyond any reasonable doubt. And of course, the audience was very impressed with her, much more than with my lecture, but that's the truth. So we should be very proud. As we get ready to sit down to the Seder, as we prepare and learn more about the Haggadah and more about all of the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we should be honored, thrilled, and privileged that we are part of a living system of testimonial from generation to generation, which started 3,326 years ago, and which continues year after year, generation after generation, country after country throughout the world, wherever Jews find themselves, to this very day. That's why the strength that we have in our religious convictions is far stronger than anything else in the world. No other nation, no other religion, no other system of actions and thought and philosophy and tradition has survived from the ancient world, except for the Klal Yisrael. And this is part of the secret of our survival, because we stem from a glorious past that has been testified to generation after generation to this very day. The nations of the world have tried to eradicate us. They've tried to stop us from doing the Seder, from eating the matzah, from living. Each different places, different kufas, different villains of history. They're all gone. They don't exist anymore. It's gone. There's no Third Reich anymore. There's no Egyptian pharaohs any longer. There's something going on in one part of the world which is very reminiscent of its past, but it's a whole new regime. But Klal Yisrael outlives them all. We have such a strong connection with our Creator. And the eternity of the Klal Yisrael, the existence of Klal Yisrael to this very day, and the existence of the Pesach and of the Haggadah and of the Seder and of the Torah, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, who lived about 250 years ago, was a giant of Torah, one of the Gedolei Acharonim, says he swears by his life that the miracles that have assured and provided the survival of Torah and Klal Yisrael to this day are greater than all the miracles that we witnessed in Mitzrayim and on the Yam Suf. We are the products of those miracles. We are living testimony to those miracles, and we are proud to participate once again, year after year, throughout our lifetime, throughout the generations, in that glorious testimony of the events that took place in Mitzrayim 3,326 years ago.